Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by School Uniforms, by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit, Fitness, Wellness, and Performance, and Vestibular Training Products and Services. Sports Performance, it's the name of the game today. Robert Andrews, mental training specialist. He's been on the show numerous times. He was at two Olympics between Beijing and London. He worked with athletes of all ages, celebrating his 25th year with the Houston's Institute of Sports Performance. He's an author and speaker. And then Julianne Soviero is going to be returning. It's been a while. She's another sports performance consultant. She's the creator of Flawless Fast Pitch. The whole fast pitch softball is her world. She's also a specialist in the world of college recruiting for parents and athletes. Then the sports doctor's in, and we'll talk a little bit about, hey, sports parents. First, I want to welcome back Rob Andrews. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Bob. Good to be back.
Yes, you know, is it in the world of mental training, with everything sports is going through, Rob, whether you're the greatest athlete in the world, the parents, the family, the schools, the mental side of everything with the trying to return, I would imagine is a very, very big deal with everything you, everywhere you look.
Well, absolutely. And I would say in April and May, everyone was kind of on a fun day, hot honeymoon kind of thing. And then it just hit the stress, the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the depression. Probably late May, June or so, I would say. So we've been cranking since then. Unfortunately.
Yes.
But
talk a little bit of your background, of you and the Institute of Sports Performance.
Well, I was a traditional marriage and family therapist for many, many years. Did a lot of work in trauma resolution, serious automobile accidents, things like that. And then I think it was in 2006 I had this aha, this epiphany that that same trauma work with eidetic imagery and EMDR would help injured athletes. So started advertising that I specialize in helping athletes get over the psychological impact of sports injuries. I'd also done a training called the Accelerated Behavior Change Training, which had a lot of performance tools and concepts. And when people started asking about performance, well, I had that tool belt to go as well. And then I began working with teams and organizations and individual athletes. And since 06, 07, it's just been a pretty remarkable ride.
Yeah, you know, Rob, for decades, part of the sports doctor has been, I always call it the mental game. And one of the big areas, of course, is one of your specialties, you know, the anxiety, the pressure, everything involved with coming back from an injury and that whole deal. Again, your family background, behavioral therapy background, working with families would give you great training for the world of youth sports and the families and the coaches and all of those interactions. And so, you know, again, that whole side, the same aha that you had. And it's interesting because a couple of decades ago, the whole side of mental training, a longtime colleague of mine, Rob, the late Dr. Jim Vickery, who was a sports psychologist, he shared the radio show with me in the early 90s. He didn't even use the word psychology because it scared people. So he was a performance enhancement consultant. You know, today, all areas of sports psychology is become so important, but so has the mental side of specific training. There's an key article on one of your colleagues in Sports Illustrated, I think this week, again, about that whole side of things. And I would imagine, again, that families, athletes, and or coaches, big part of your clientele.
Well, it's my background was family systems theory. And so athletes work and live and breathe and train and compete in all kinds of different systems, whether it's a university, a team, going for the Olympics, whatever that might be. And so they have to figure out a role within those systems that's very, very empowering to them, and also create a lifestyle where they show up authentically. And that's a big focus of what we look at, is personal empowerment, authentic living and lifestyle and personality. So it nicely wove itself together, you know, psychotherapy and family systems theory, performance, sports injury. So I work
yes.
with coaches, parents. Sometimes I'll do whole family sessions if the family's struggling with what the athlete's goals are and what the parents' goals are. We'll yeah. do a whole session.
Even if they're not struggling,
sometimes.
Right? That's what yes. I've been talking about for 20 years. Forget about if you're struggling. Let's talk about preventing problems and high performance. Everybody mm-hmm. listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you go back years, almost 10 years with different topics and guests of all types. And I think before that we had reels-to-reels that we were using. And you can listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll see a lot of the stuff we're in the middle of with the new MVP Parent Magazine, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, and so many different topics. Talking with Rob Andrews. I think were you the founder, Rob, of the Institute of Sports Performance?
Yes, I was, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Okay, congratulations. Hey, happy anniversary. You know, Rob's also a contributor to our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. He's also one of our team members in our exciting Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors In. You know, Rob, your book, give us a little bit of information about the book that you did. What is it? Is it the Champion's Mental Edge?
Yes, sir. It's a book and a video series. I found after the Rio Olympics, I had a lot of athletes, quite a few athletes that did very, very well in the Rio Olympics, and there was a pretty big demand, so I brought other people into my practice, but I also had always been wanting to write a book, so I wrote the book, and then we converted the book into a video series, and it hit on Amazon, hit bestseller list, so I can say I'm a best-selling author. But it's done real well, and there's six chapters or segments in the video series on performance. There's one on parenting athletes. There's one on mental blocks, one on overcoming injuries, and another segment on what I've learned from championship culture. And I've interviewed NFL, NBA, Olympic champions on what their specific teams did to reach the pinnacle of their sport. And so it's fun. I think I've got another few books in me and
Yeah, you and me both.
Draw. Yeah. Well,
right?
Well, it's kind of feeling that need to start writing again. Absolutely.
I think that always factors in. What's the best website for people to find out about you and the Institute?
TINSSP.com. T-I-N as in Nancy, S-S-P as in Paul.com. The Institute of Sports Performance.
Rob just completed a series. He might still be doing it with an old colleague of mine, a physical therapist, Gina Pongetti, who also has a tremendous background in the world of gymnastics. And Rob, of course, has a wall of gold medals with the Simone Biles and all the other teammates of those great gold medal women's. And girls, you know, gymnastics, you know, and the whole world again of, you know, what we talk about all the time in the world of youth sports, which is the epidemic, in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries, both physical and mental. And, of course, you know, Rob working with the gymnastics team and that nightmare that they're still going through in so many ways. Goes to show the kinds of pressures that we talk about all the time on the Sports Doctor. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the country, or you're their family or their coach, and you got to play and you're hurting. And this is why one of the biggest chapters in hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Rob, is youth sports and drugs, where so many of these kids are taking over-the-counter medicines because the pressure to play and the schedules and all the overuse has become such a big problem because it's such a big business, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things we talked about in my series with Gina, was this drive to compete regardless of whether you're injured or have a broken wrist or a broken bone in your foot, or you're just completely burned out and fried. They show up in the gym or at the pool or whatever it is and just keep pushing.
Yes, and this is, we understand those pressures, of course, at the highest level at younger and younger ages, as we watch the physicality of all of these sports, grow many times dramatically. And then you have these cultures in these club teams and travel teams, and Svengali coaches, as I call them, these overzealous, overbearing, and parents, where we again see the abuse at all different levels because of sometimes the scheduling and the kinds of pressures. So it seems to me, and one of the thrusts that you and I have talked about all the time, again, is the idea of understanding this is what it is. And, like Hey Sports Parents and Sports Doctors In, my theme is, what's the game plan? Mm-hmm. When you're dealing with some of these top kids, how young do you work with in your world in sports performance? What are the ages? How young do you go?
In my practice, I have three other colleagues, and I don't work with them this young, but they go 7, 8, 9, shockingly. We're seeing kids with anxiety and panic attacks before a basketball game.
Yes.
Or a gymnastics meet. I'll go as low as 11 or 12, usually with female gymnasts, because in a few years they could be an Olympic hopeful, and there's very, very talented gymnasts that age. But I'm generally high school, college, and then professional or, world team, Olympic team hopefuls, those kind of athletes. But with injury, I'll pretty much see anybody, because I just love doing that work.
And those athletes don't get there unless they start very early. That's why one of the most popular little chapters in my book, as you know, is called The Prodigy Sports. You're in the middle of it there in gymnastics. So am I in figure skating, where you have young kids. That's all they want to do. Now, the experts could tell them all day, and it's true. We want children to play multiple sports and use different parts of the body. Everybody agrees. However, again, in the world of gymnastics, think ballet, even soccer and tennis now, absolutely, where you have adolescents, this is all they want to do, and we got to pay attention to these boys and girls. And they must, again, they got to listen to you, because you've worked with all these different ages as they became and have maintained. You're talking Olympic level. It's one out of millions. And there's got to be tremendous pressure, and the whole idea of teamwork, because many times we see that overuse is a big problem. I hope that your next series is going to include train that foot and ankle, in your bullet points. Maybe it does, If not, we'll add it. Give me I know you have that series. You talk about those areas of specialty in both the book and the series. What are you paying attention to in each of those areas, Rob?
Interestingly, Bob, a big topic these days is burnout. And I'm talking to a lot of gymnasts who are telling me that they're finding in their gyms that they can get as much done in 3, 4, 4.5, 5 hours instead of 6, 7, 8 hours, which is giving them time to go home and have a social life if their gym is open like that, or to have more balance in their life. We keep talking about balance, because all they do
is even smart physically. I don't know how much longer I got to scream about this. The idea of this kind of schedule physically in a growing body is off the walls.
Yeah.
This is one of the realities. Okay, what else are you paying attention to?
Well, it fries them mentally and emotionally also. So we're just talking about, we call it tank filling, going out and doing other activities get away from the gym or the baseball field or the pool or whatever it is. And like I talked to a kid in Arizona a couple of weeks ago, they were going out camping and boating. And that's something his family just does. They get him out of the gym. And so we're talking about that. We're talking a lot about building resilience and building character during this COVID epidemic that we find ourselves in. Because I think one of the things that this COVID epidemic has revealed is how ill-prepared we were as a society with our coping strategies and coping tools to handle stress and anxiety and isolation, or maybe being in a stuck around people too much. We're poorly equipped to handle this. So we're talking a lot about building resilience, developing character, and developing inner strength and tools to manage stress and anxiety.
I know you always talked about the importance of communication. You know, we on the various shows we've had, you've talked about the communication within the family, the communication between the athlete and the coach, these kinds of things, they make so much sense. Before we're out of time, give me a quick minute on that, then I'm going to ask you for the website again. Talk about some of the communication importance.
Well, when I work with elite athletes, let's say they're trying to make it to the Olympics, we talk about what we call the plan, and I'll sit down with the parents, the athlete, and the coach on a regular basis, and are we adhering to the plan? And the plan means moving energy towards the goal, and if the athlete wants to embark on something that's going to move energy away from their goal and the plan, we challenge them on that. Or if there's something going on with the coaching style that might short-circuit the plan, or the parents, or whatever that might be. So we meet on a regular basis and talk, that we communicate. And sometimes they're very, very straightforward and firm communication about the plan. And so I found that to be invaluable. Just sitting down as a system, I'm part of that system, and communicating, is this working or not working? And I found that to just be invaluable in my work with high-level athletes.
Yes, and the idea, how often is when you talk about on a periodic basis, would you say, hey, listen, once a week, couple of times a month, what's just the generality of the kind of timing?
Once or twice a month, unless something comes up, and if, you know, when they get into that Olympic tunnel where they start tuning things out, and we might meet a little bit more frequently then because sometimes sponsors start pushing in on them or the media wants interviews, and we have to really I've actually had athletes put a sign on the door saying we only interview between 3 and 4 in the afternoon.
Right. So, I mean, that's got to be nuts when you take a look at all aspects. So, you know, the Olympics, there is no – I used to have a contest on the show. You have another 30 seconds. I used to say, what's tougher, become a professional athlete or become an Olympian? And we would have, man, 50-50, all sorts of opinions. Those pressures have to be just remarkable. And the fact that you're able to work with these, I would imagine, as many females as males.
It's seasonal. I mean, it's depending upon which sport. I would say right now I'm seeing more females than males. I'll just run through it real quick. Yes.
Yes, and probably the array of sports probably is endless. Because, again, there is no sport that doesn't involve the whole aspect of the mental game. Give me the website real quick, Rob Andrews, because we're just about out of time.
You can go to TINSSP.com. That's T-I-N as in Nancy, S as in S-S-P as in Paul.com. Or you can just Google search the Institute of Sports Performance, and we'll pop right up.
Great. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Hold on
quickly,
everybody. We'll be right back at the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kids. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Welcome back, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And we want to welcome back Julianne Silveiro. She's a sports performance consultant. She's the creator of Flawless Fast Pitch. Softball really is her area of expertise. She's also very involved in the wild world of college recruiting for parents and athletes. Julianne, welcome back. It's been a while to the Sports Doctor.
To be here.
Give us some background. You know, Julianne also is a personal trainer for 20 years. Give us some background on you and your world of softball and fast pitch specialty.
It has been an amazing journey with so many different layers, but basically it started out that I wanted to pitch and I was terrible. So, you know, for those of us who aren't, like, natural in things that we really want to do, we kind of tend to dig deeper and we say, okay, well, maybe I can't, you know, throw a ball necessarily like Jenny Finch, but I can look at all the things that Jenny Finch is doing and try to emulate some of those, you know, components. And then, you know, this has been a crazy study that at this point I've, you know, traveled all over the country and seen amazing trainers at all different levels where we look at, you know, how the body moves in slow motion. We use 4D motion sensors. And
And you learned from the first time you were on, right? You learned from the Sports Doctor to make sure you're strengthening those feet and ankles.
No matter,
I can't tell you how many top pitchers we've had that orthotics were magic for them with all of that stress on the foot and ankle. Did you pitch softball in high school and or college or both?
Both, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always been fascinating. It's always been fascinating, Julianne, that the arm problems in pitching had been around as long as baseball's around, and nobody was paying attention especially. It seemed that girls could underhand pitch forever. And, you know, it was always like, hey, you know, it's a different world, isn't it?
It seems that way initially, but the reason that people were thinking that is because, number one, years ago, girls were starting a lot later. They were learning at, like, 14 or 15, whereas boys were starting much younger. But now that's flipped around. And also because what brought attention to, you know, boys' injuries was essentially this one study that did muscle fatigue for male pitchers. So a good friend of mine who's a physical therapist and I, we were like, well, we just need to duplicate this study for females. And we did find similar muscle fatigue in terms of percentiles and things like that, but in different body parts, basically. So we do fatigue and we do leave ourselves susceptible to injury if we don't strengthen and take care of ourselves and have really perfect mechanics, but just in different areas, right? We don't see, like, you know, Tommy John's type surgery. We don't really tend to see rotator cuff problems there in different areas.
Oh, that's a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
There's always a couple of interesting topics in the world of orthopedics, the team physician of the Yankees. colleague of mine, and we were talking about the fact that they see Tommy John surgery in adolescents. This is nuts.
It is.
And the idea, again, of youth sports, and it's one of the reasons why I co-wrote the book, hashtag Hate Sports Parents, is overuse. And
Yes. Let's
add to the list the girl pitchers. And the whole underhand motion that, hey, guess what? This problem. Because I would watch some of these girls pitch a triple header. This was unheard of.
It's crazy.
Yes. So the in general, it seems that softball pitcher can pitch more frequently or more often than the counterpart guy who's pitching overhand.
I would say, like, what I recommend is an every other day sort of throwing schedule, because it's similar to how, like, if you would go to the gym, you wouldn't do chest every day. You know, you still wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, but I want to know, Julian, how many games a week can this young hotshot girl pitch on her
I would
team?
Say safely I would keep her at 3 to 4, but depending on age, you know what I mean? Like, the older girls, sometimes they you know, kind of suck it up and throw, like, 2 or 3 games in a weekend because they have college coaches showing up, you know. And for them, I would say that's the one case in which, okay, here's your time to shine. Like, let's do it and make sure there's ample recovery time. I love Brandon Marcello's quote that there's no such thing as overtraining. There's just under-recovering.
It's a big point. All my years with my sports medicine mentor, Bob Guida, the famous kinesiotherapist, basically invented rubber bands, and where he was working, whether it was the volleyball players or the different pitchers, the whole, again, idea of the prehab, trying to get stronger. And tell us a little bit about the flawless fast pitch.
It's basically been that way of rounding out every component of athleticism, from like nutrition to the mental game to different components of, like you're saying, making sure you're strong in other ways, that pitching is not the only activity that you do.
Well, you're a licensed hypnotist, aren't you?
I am. Well, like, yeah, I'm a certified hypnotist. And I'm also a certified havening practitioner, which is kind of falls along the same line. So, yeah.
I missed that. Which is the second one? I heard you say the hypnotist. What was the second one?
As a certified havening practitioner, so it's similar in some regards. The research on it by Dr. Rudin is like off the charts. It's in terms of how effective it can be for sort of shifting negative mental patterns, and especially I find it's incredibly effective for people who have been hit with like line drives and they can't get back on the field for that reason. I know that's something that like people call me all the time about.
Right. Or Rob Andrews, our first guest, about that girl. If someone comes off the high bar, whatever it happens to be, the challenge of coming back from injury. But the reason I brought it up is that, you know, hypnosis is a valuable aspect of mental training forever, and is really something that we need to be including, paying attention to. Yeah, the mental game, in quotes, is a very, very big deal on the sports doctor. Again, whether we're talking about the best athlete in the country or their parents or their coach.
That's what I think. Such
exactly.
An awesome point.
Or their teammates. And the so is Flawless Fast Pitch a course? Is it a book?
I mean, I've written a few books at this point, and I do have some online courses sort of that work through all these different components that we talked about. But I just can't emphasize enough. I love what you just said about that. I think the mental game should be trained equally with the physical, because at the higher level, the thing that differentiates, you know, wins and losses is absolutely the mental game. Stops being as physical at that point. It's pretty crazy.
Yes. But like what you just mentioned, I think is so important. Again, you know, someone gets hit with a line drive or they have that kind of a whatever the challenge, and someone says, let's talk about, I've had sports psychologists on my show for 20 years, give or take a few weeks. Of course, then they didn't call themselves psychologists. And the whole world of mental training, a lot of those expertise is not psychologists or psychiatrists. whole area of mental training and hypnosis is a part of meditation. You know, the whole mindfulness side of things, I think, becomes very, very important. And that's not a secret anymore, is it, at all?
No, but I think a lot of people struggle with where to start in that area. Like, so we talk a lot about the psych scale, and a lot of people are like, oh, I don't, you know, I've never heard of
that.
Great
point. That's a great point. Where to start, really.
It's tough because I think a lot of people assume that with great athletes, the mental game just naturally falls into place. But I've definitely seen cases in which, you know, you have terrific athletes that aren't able to get past a certain point because the mental game never just clicked for them, that they have to really develop it on a daily basis. So, yeah, things like using the psych scale or things like, you know, I've read some people like to use like an avatar, all these different things, you know, or havening or hypnosis, they're tools in the tool set, or setting up, one coach give me a great idea about making a reel for yourself for whatever sport you play of all the like great successes you've had, you know, and you download it to your phone and you watch it before you play, and it's just like that bolstering moment of, wow.
Yes, the visualization, for as long as I've been around figure skating with my poster boy, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Devin was 10 years old when I put orthotics in the skates. 12 years later, he's the best in the world. And visualization was always such a big deal. That's a great idea, have that kind of access on somebody's, you know, on their phone. What's the best website to find out about your stuff?
It's flawlessfastpitch.com.
Okay, flawlessfastpitch.com. The ages that you work with, and someone says, you know, because again, a girl's softball now starts very early, almost like little league age, you know.
Yes, I have girls as early as 8 or 9, yes.
Yes, so attention to principle, to try to stay out of trouble, try to prevent injury, was such a big deal on the sports doctor, and I'm sure you pay big attention to that. It's also good to hear that you pay attention to the nutritional side, and again, the physical side, regarding overall, you know, performance, because a lot of times we see they blend together, don't they?
Oh, I think you can't have one without the other. There's that there's that thing where, you know, I mean, you can't go, like, chugging a Mountain Dew and having a donut before you go out to pitch and be like, this is going to end well, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's not
Wasn't
happening.
Wasn't that the training table? Yeah. You know, and, you know, again, we in the world of youth sports, you know, we pay so much attention. One of the chapters in my book, hashtag A Sports Parents, is youth sports and drugs, the dependence on over-the-counter medicines in order to stay in the game or keep playing, you know, in that whole world. I'm going to talk more. Julianne Silveiro, Flawless Fast Pitch. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hi, it's Dr. Bob. I need to tell you about Vestibular Training Products and Services. Founded by master figure skating coach Sheila Thielen, these important tools help with all types of balance challenges. Very exciting harnesses and spinning platforms. Vestibular Training Products and Services are a valuable tool for athletes and the general public. It's an effective post-concussion, traumatic brain injury, balance challenges with autism and other vestibular disabilities and key areas of use. Go to vestibulartrainingservices.com. vestibulartrainingservices.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolware.com. Globalschoolware.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. International guests, national, local guests, all topics in the world, sports medicine, wellness, nutrition, fitness, and you could listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you've got a lot of hoopla with this new magazine, MVP Parent Magazine, keeping these kids in the game and safety, and articles with Lower Extremity Review Magazine on all aspects. And one of my most popular, notorious articles, which is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. We're talking with Julianne Silveiro. She is the creator of Flawless Fast Pitch. Her world really involves girls, women's softball. You're also involved in the world of college recruiting for parents and athletes, aren't you?
Yes, which is, it's changed so dramatically.
Dramatically.
The last several years, yes.
The last several years, it's turned over on its head the last few months.
That
with,
too.
With Cowboyd.
Yes.
You know, this is a very big deal. You know, the pressures of scholarships, that whole world in youth sports, it's very, very real. It's always been one of the biggest challenges. Financial pressure, the drug side of pressure. I got to play. I'm playing hurt. I got to keep up with everybody. And the mental hassles of that kind of high wire act. And of course, again, it's been turned on its head, but all aspects, I guess, you know, of parents and the athletes themselves, this is a big area, college recruiting, isn't it?
It's gigantic. And I think it had gotten completely out of control. So to the extent where, you know, people are making verbal commitments in seventh grade, in eighth grade, where it's like,
yes,
you're not even fully physically developed at that point. Like, I don't know how you can understand what you're going to want when you're 18. So
exactly.
It had gotten very, very crazy with that. My book on college recruiting, Empowered Recruiting, was written during that time period, and because people were just so lost, they're like, how do I even get ahead of this? Like, this is overwhelming. Like, what steps do I take? So fortunately, in 2018, they had set some rules in place so we can't have this chaos anymore, you know. So
yes,
fortunately now, everything is pushed back enough so that I feel like college, well, you know, people who are looking at colleges and their parents have an opportunity to make better choices for themselves and to be able to know more. Like, I mean, you can't expect at 12 years old that you're going to know what you want to study, you know.
But you might know what you want to play. Again,
and
you might have a 12, 13-year-old hotshot young softball pitcher that you're excited about that schools are already looking at.
Yes.
And thinking about looking at, and you know, that whole segment of the world, which is, you know, recruiting these young athletes. When you're talking traveling teams, I just mentioned again, at 10 years old, Lysacek was a national junior champion or novice champion, where some of these kids, Rob Andrews, our first guest, was talking about in the world of gymnastics, where, you know, very early things start getting very serious. Those kind of leads to all sorts of injuries. It leads to all sorts of different problems, again, mentally. So, again, in the that must be a constant battle, like you said, to somehow keep it real, everybody, with this, because there's so much money and pressure at stake. And now, with what's going on, we're smack in the middle. I mean, you know, my granddaughter's going to be a freshman at U of I, and now it's going to be all virtual, and this whole what's going on. I can't imagine what must be going on in the thoughts of parents and coaches in recruiting?
Well, it's also crazy because now some schools are, like, sports programs defunded, or they decided, like, no, we're not, you know, going to play for, like, the next 2 years. And that, for some people who are, like, let's say, you know, freshmen last year, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to find a totally new school at this point?
Women's softball's
in the middle. Does that mean you get to play? Not at all.
Yeah,
like, it's pretty crazy.
Your sport's in the middle. The big money makers. Really, number one football, college football, and college basketball allow women's softball, tennis, soccer, lacrosse, all these sports to take place because none of them make enough money. And so this is one of the big concerns. Again, it's a gigantic concern with the cancellation of the fall season, and maybe who knows what's going to be regarding this and the pressures on these kids. You're a college player, nobody's paying you. You want to be a guinea pig and go play football? Jeez, that kind of pressure, it's nuts.
It's very hard under the current environment as well, because as much as softball, we have come a long way in terms of how much television coverage we get and how well paid coaches are and
have.
Stuff like that. It's
Jenny
been, like,
Finch.
Incredible. Yes, thank you, Jenny.
Yes.
But also thank you, Michelle Smith, Amanda Scarborough, because those women do commentary like nobody's business, you know. Michelle Smith and Amanda Scarborough are two people I've had the honor of, like, speaking with and, you know, just learning from, and they're just amazing in every regard. But
like every other sport, it's amazing the athleticism of women's softball has quadrupled in the past couple of decades. These kids, tremendous ball players. It's like basketball, where really you see these fantastic women athletes in so many ways. And I remember, you know, again, my sports medicine mentor and colleague, Bob Guider, we were working with a couple of great young softball players who were walking into a batting cage and listening to the crack of the bat. I couldn't believe it. These 13, 14-year-old kids who were just tremendous athletes. So new world, I guess, in that regard, right?
Yes, and I think one of my great friends, another coach who I totally love and respect, who says, it used to be that they didn't train female athletes like they were athletes. They trained them like they were little girls, you know? And now it's a very different world out there. You know, I think girls are being held to higher standards, which we need if we want to be able to show that we can, you know, compete as fiercely as the boys can.
I would assume, I'm going to ask you for the website, but there's not an athlete out there you shouldn't be including your sports hypnosis. Big, big, big weapon that they all should be using. Julianne Silveiro, Flawless Fast Pitch. Give me the website one more time, Julianne.
Sure, it's flawlessfastpitch.com. And I also love getting your emails and everything like that, so never feel shy about reaching out to me that way.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. Hold on, Julianne. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office. Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. And the Sports Doctors In segment, we do a little bit of preview of some upcoming shows. We answer a few emails, give you some feedback on some specific cases in the whole world of, hey, sports parents, the Sports Doctors In. Next week, we're going to be in Australia. So our Wednesday afternoon live show, they'll be up at 6 in the morning the next day in Australia. Rennell Hobson, the Academy of Sports Speed, will be joining us. And also Jackson Tisdale, he's a podiatrist, really a sports podiatrist in Australia. He's been on before, and that'll be a great show live from Australia the following week. Anthony Laca was a basketball coach, and he's used the whole area of coaching basketball for a lot of his different philosophies in the world of business and success and performance. Then the world of chronic pain with Avita Suri and all ways of dealing with that nightmare. A few emails. Rich says, and by the way, if you want to email me, we got hundreds, we mix them in, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo. Rich says, should flat seat be treated? You know, Rich, for the most part, I would say yes. Flat feet, which is not a medical term, usually are problematic, whether the arch is hurt with plantar fasciitis or heels. Common to have knee abuse because of the rotation problems associated with flat feet. Yet some of the best athletes in the world have flat feet. So we pay attention, of course, to individuals. If we're talking in general, then I would always say that flat feet, we would look to strengthen them. And in most instances, I would incorporate custom orthotics for optimum joint position. We've had great success with young children whose feet hurt, with their parents who might be in their 30s or 40s whose feet hurt, or their parents who are seniors in their 70s and 80s whose feet hurt. So many times flat feet are problematic. If we see nobody has problems, still understanding that support is almost always helpful in the shoes that you're in, strengthening your feet and ankles, whether it's using rubber bands, doing some balance work is always helpful, especially if you're going to be adding sports, whether it's to that young boy or girl or you. So for the most part, if you have a history of trouble, low extremity, low back, hips, knees, arthritis, flat feet, pay attention. See podiatry, orthotics could really, really help. Matter of fact, Jan says, you know, right along lines of foot types, like high arches or low arches inherited. You know, a lot, Jan, of times they are, I'd say 75% of the time, you will inherit your parents' foot mechanics. We might see that, gee, you know, the young daughter has got tendency for the beginning of bunions. Her mom, who's in her late 20s or 30s, has bunions already. Her parents, many times that over-enlarged big toe joint of the big toe starts to push against the other toes, is an example of inheriting the foot type that might develop that. High arches. Other kinds of concerns. Gee, the kid's bow-legged just like his father and grandfather. So quite often in screening, when we're talking about preventing injuries or mixing in screening evaluation of that athlete, I don't care what their sport is, what their age is, we might absolutely be talking about whether you've had problems with the joints or whether your parents did, and then we pay attention. Phil... says my 12-year-old daughter's a figure skater. She skates every day. The balls of her feet are always bothering her. She's got high arches like her mother and grandmother. I don't know if on purpose we did this. Yes, this is a great example. Orthotics can take the pressure off the ball of the foot, period. Very successfully. Years ago, sometimes there was the thought that a quote-unquote arch support, an orthotic is not an arch support, although orthotics do help support arches, where someone says, you know, he's got very high arches. They sure as heck don't need arch support. Why would they use orthotics? This is a great example. Excessive pressure under the ball of the foot, excessive pressure on the heels. And usually, I don't care what boot your daughter's in, you can't make that kind of precise adjustment. So the good news, Phil, is we've had great success with orthotics in skates. That young boy or girl has got high arches, and not only do the orthotics are effective in taking pressure off these areas we talked about, but orthotics can be dramatically helpful with the knee or low back abuse. And orthotics and skating step up enhanced performance because it's all about alignment. Couple of feedbacks. One of them is about a figure skater with our Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors in www.thesportsdoctor.online. It's where we are doing really sports medicine coaching involving my team. You had a great example of that with Rob Andrews, first guest today, in so many different areas of sports medicine with these growing kids. And the world of youth sports, young 12-year-old figure skater, where a couple of months ago we were talking about the long-time problems on and off under the ball of the foot, bingo, specific area called the sesamoids, these two bones that are under the ball of the foot that can be susceptible to stress. And these were very, very aggravated. And on another side of the country, we got involved again, in being able to consult with particular orthotic labs, consult with particular podiatrists, create specific orthotics, and also follow through with recommendations big time with the referral to the bootmaker, Mr. Edge himself, John Hermata and Geppetto's, to make alterations and changes to make a big difference. And follow-up is key. Again, as the sports podiatrist myself, I'm a quarterback. I might refer to our nutrition experts, our mental training experts, our specific sports experts, our parenting experts. We have over 20. And a lot of alternatives or additional ones. And the discussion of new boots, the discussion of how much can we do, how much jumping, can we stay out of trouble? That kind of follow-up is what is done. And again, we have a free consult that's available. Another great example is this 13-year-old, very talented young boy, tennis player. And the concern was not only he had some heel problems on and off, but he was also, as Dad said, a young John McEnroe, tremendous anger and or attitude problems. He didn't mean it, and this was a problem. And again, they could see that they wanted to pay attention to this very, very rightfully so. And again, we were able to put them in touch with the world of mental training, with some feedback from some experts who have worked with some of these young boys and girls and all of those problems. So it was very, very excited. www.thesportsdoctor.online. Thanks, Rob Andrews. Thanks, Julianne Silveiro. Everybody, stay safe. Stay informed. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.